a bit of a fuss about a TV3 weather presenter, Kanoa Lloyd, who had the temerity to use Maori words in the weather report. Te Ika a Maui for North Island, Te Waiponamu for South Island, Aotearoa. I'm not exactly sure, to be fair, how many people objected, but plenty of people have come out in support of Kanoa Lloyd, including Karaitiana Tauru, an advocate for Te Reo and chair of the New Zealand Maori Internet Society. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Kim.
I'm hoping nobody's going to object to that. You know, it's 30 years since Nida Glavish was told by her employer, the post office, to stop greeting people with kia ora. But there's every so often a fuss that goes up, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And unfortunately, it's quite common to hear such negative attitudes in the education systems and just even in the general public. Speaking Māori, I've heard people turn around and say, oh, don't talk that language. You know, we're English, we speak English. So that's very common.
It's quite instructive to think back to the case of Nida Glavish, though, isn't it? Because Rob Talbot, who was National Cabinet Minister at the time and Postmaster General, said, that's quite right, you shouldn't say kia ora. Lots of people don't understand it. And to be fair, the Prime Minister Muldoon overruled him and said, you know, what's your problem? Get over it.
Sure. I think a lot of that comes down to a failure in the education system, where the education system doesn't teach our second official spoken language, Māori, whether that's just basic pronunciation, basic greetings, and basic education about Māori place names, how places like Christchurch, Wellington, Auckland are actually new names. They're not the original name. And I think a lot of people fail to realise that as well.
Do you think that Māori should be compulsory in schools?
No, I don't think it should be compulsory. In terms of language revitalisation, people would say, yes, it needs to be compulsory. In my opinion, if Te Reo Māori is compulsory, it'll just create a negative attitude towards Te Reo Māori. If we're going to teach another language in school, it should be a commercial language, something perhaps Mandarin or, maybe Arab, something that will help people anywhere in the world.
Esperanto, people have been writing, and we were talking about Syria earlier this morning, and people are saying, oh, you know, if we all spoke the same language, then we wouldn't get such conflict. I think that they are dreaming, actually, because I think people are always going to fight. But never mind, that's beside the point.
Okay. I think with different languages, that expresses different cultural feelings, which you can't express with the one language. And language makes us unique, and it helps us to identify who we are.
The normalisation of te reo seems to be a thing that has grown apace, certainly since Nida Glavish was demoted for using kia ora. But interesting point made by somebody the other day who suggested that te reo is taonga, so it shouldn't be used willy-nilly. It shouldn't really be normalised. It's a special thing. How do you feel about that argument?
OK, I would disagree with that. I think that te reo Māori should be normalised. It is an official language. And whether we like it or not, there's thousands of Māori words which have become a part of New Zealand English. And just recently I read that Māori is the most borrowed from language in the world.
Borrowed from, meaning incorporated into English?
Yes, into English.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's true, but only in New Zealand, right?
That's correct. But when if you think about it, most of our plant names and many of our fish names all have Māori names. A number of our towns and places have Māori names, which people just consider as being part of normal day English. So in order to say that, well, those names are a taonga, I just don't agree with.
What about your suggestion, I think you've made, that immigrants should have compulsory te reo test?
Yes, definitely. I'm heavily involved with a number of immigrants, and the majority of them can pronounce Māori properly, and there's a genuine curiosity and a want and a need for them to learn te reo Māori. I think some of that stems from the fact that in New Zealand, We the majority of us only speak one language, and that's English. Yet when we travel overseas and go to places like, you know, Europe and Asia, they speak multiple languages.
What sort of Te Reo test would you give immigrants? And I'm presuming that the corollary would not be that New Zealand residents who fail a Te Reo test would be shipped off.
No, not at all.
Thank you.
I think just basic pronunciation, basic greetings, just things like kia ora, place names, perhaps the Ministry of Culture and Heritage's word list could be used. I think it's quite appropriate and it's not too extensive.
It's a matter of respect, is it?
Yes, a matter of respect. And it also recognises a statutory language in New Zealand, and it pays respect to the original inhabitants of New Zealand, Aotearoa.
Seems to me that the response to criticism of using Te Reo, which is pull your head in, it's absolutely fabulous, and yay, go Kanua Lloyd, is worth a million silly people saying, don't use it. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. I think it's definitely raised the profile, and it does show that New Zealand isn't this multicultural, multilingual, happy country, which a lot of people seem to think we are. There is definitely divides there.
How much division is there really? I mean, I await listener response, but, you know, how many people really objected to Kanua Lloyd calling, you know, the North Island Te Ka Māori?
I haven't personally spoken to Kanua about this. I've followed the media. From personal experience, I can say I've had that sort of backlash in smaller towns, rural communities.
Is it mostly the older generation?
Yes, it normally is the older generation, yes. And usually people who haven't travelled outside of their hometowns or outside of New Zealand.
Although, lest we forget, it was surely no more than a year or so back that a clothing retailer in Queenstown complained about the use of kia ora in an email from a Travel New Zealand magazine sales rep. And the retailer in question said, maybe more people would advertise with you if we were addressed with respect.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. And for me personally, I'm more inclined to support someone or an organisation who is willing to say kia ora or who is more culturally aware.
Yeah. Is it just a question of time and osmosis, or do you think, short of policy decisions like immigrants being compulsorily tested in Te Reo, do you think there are other things that need to be done?
Sure. Yes, I think that the education system, right from primary school right up to universities, need to be more aware of the need to use more Māori words, be more accepting of using greetings, Māori greetings, whether it's on the phone or in the email. I think that formal ceremonies from the government could perhaps reevaluate the use of Te Reo Māori with their things like a pōwhiri, where sometimes the language content is quite substantial and can become quite boring for someone who doesn't understand, and that could also draw up barriers. I think the more people who use bilingual names for organisations will certainly help. And I also think that corporations could, you know, step up and use more Māori language. Every time I fly on the aeroplane, there's always a Māori greeting. Place names are pronounced correctly. There's New Zealanders referred to as Aotearoa and New Zealand. I think all these little steps from everywhere will help society adjust and normalise Te Reo Māori.
As chair of the New Zealand Māori Internet Society, what are you doing in that area?
Sure. So a lot of that concentrates on localising software and web-based applications and supporting the localisation of software and internet programs. So in the recent years, we've compiled a list of Māori ICT terms, helped project manage a interface to Facebook being translated into Te Reo Māori, supported Macron usage and technology. We've supported Māori spell checking tools. We've also gone international trying to assist and get ideas from other international, Indigenous and minority groups as well.
It's good to talk to you. It's odd, isn't it, that anybody would feel less than proud about a language that is spoken nowhere else in the world.
Yes, it is very strange. Perhaps it also is a reflection of the fact that New Zealand is a one-language country as opposed to a multilingual country.
Thanks, Katie Tauru, an advocate for Te Reo.